It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 28th day of December, 2021. 28, 29, 33. Yeah, there's 4 days left in 2021. And, well, we will see where that takes us. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know 999. That's our code for the programs getting out and the pot packets are passing and all of that stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so consequently, thanks go out to our 28th day of the month subscribers, and thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island. Thank you to Suman. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you to Randy Radar. Thank you so very much for being partial sponsors. Thanks for finishing off the challenge, Rico's I Love You in This Community Challenge. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in that. We are down to $1,900 to go to finish. Let me correct that. We are down to $1,300 to go, thanks to an anonymous friend who wants to see us finish the month and the year to the good. Thank you so much. $1,300 to go. So that might be reachable. It would be wonderful if it is. A couple of clarifications. Rico and DeBerg says, my Steelers are not out of the playoffs just yet if they beat the Browns and the Ravens, both of whom they've already beaten, and if the Bungles lose to KC and the Browns, who spanked them earlier this season like a rented nun.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like a rented nun, then the Steelers would actually win the AFC North. The Bungles can usually be counted on to bungle, so take that, Steve. Okay, the rivalry. It is in full swing, yes. Okay, thanks for that. I saw somebody saying, maybe I missed part of it, but I thought they said that the Steelers were done all the way out. It's been a rough season in the Steel City. What, 7-6-1? Was that it? Is that where the record stands for the Steelers? This time, at this point. Anyway, thanks for that clarification, Rico. And Rico added more misunderstood songs. I started something last night. I always thought my old Kentucky home was about my home in rural western PA, since my dad always referred to our state as Pennsyltucky. Also, Zappa's Montana was obviously about the universal plight of dental floss farmers. Oh, that's two cowbells. For Rico, the universal plight of dental floss farmers. Mm-hmm. Raising it up and waxing it down. Put it in a little white box that I can sell uptown. Some things just stick. Quadratic equation, not so much. That Ain't going anywhere. Yeah. And from Joey and Giraffe, yesterday I discussed Kim Potter, a white cop who shot a black man, Dante Wright, to death. Today I want to make mention of the Kennedy documents that were released and pose the question, have the documents revealed anything we didn't already know? Well, Junior's right there, ready to go. So what do the Kennedy documents have to do with former policewoman Kim Potter killing a black man? Well, I'm glad you asked, Junior. I'll make the connection shortly. This should be interesting. 2 weeks ago, when the latest round of documents was released concerning the assassination of JFK, I just happened to tune into Fox News just in time to hear Geraldo Rivera state that he was only showing the first part of the Zapruder footage, and he would not show the entire footage because it was too gruesome. Geraldo then went on to say that he does not believe there was a conspiracy and it was just the act of a lone gunman that killed Kennedy. Oh, dear. Here comes Jeffrey.
Now, first of all, Joey, it is not Fox News, but rather Fox Nuisance. More to the point, Geraldo stating he would not show the end of the Zapruder film because it was too graphic was an absolute joke. The real reason Geraldo and Fox Noise did not show the end of the Zapruder film was the film clearly demonstrates where the final and fatal bullet came from, which corroborates, dozens of eyewitnesses' descriptions, including the police, where the final bullet emanated, and that, of course, was from the grassy knoll. Finally, as if Fox gives a shit about being too graphic, hell, Fox is all about ratings, and they'll air anything if they believe it'll garner ratings and get their brain-dead rubes to tune in.
Junior, apparently a little unhappy.
Daddy, I don't think referring to the rubes as brain dead is very nice, considering JFK was shot in the head.
Yeah, Junior's learning. Junior has a finely developing moral sense. So anyway, Joey says, yes, at this point, no reasonable person would conclude there was only one gunman involved in Dealey Plaza on 11-22-63. I've watched endless documentaries and read about a half a dozen books on this matter. I've come to the conclusion that the Dulles brothers and the CIA were deep into this one, primarily because the government wanted to keep the Vietnam War going so the military-industrial complex could continue to make billions from the war. Kennedy wanted out of the war, and just like his friend Charles de Gaulle, the French prime minister who ended France's war machine and colonization of Vietnam on May 7, 1954, Kennedy wanted out of Vietnam, too. Charles de Gaulle was tired of the war that had broken out in December 1946 when Ho Chi Minh launched widespread attacks against the French, as that war had gone on strong for 7 years. Shortly after becoming president, LBJ told Congress, "You can have your war, but I want civil rights, Medicaid, Medicare, and Head Start." In my mind, LBJ knew the long guns were coming for him if he dared to try to leave the cash cow that was Vietnam. Charles de Gaulle and Kennedy were very close confidants, and there's no doubt that de Gaulle shared with Kennedy the numerous death threats he received after pulling out of Vietnam. Ironically, on November 22nd at about 9 p.m. French time, Kennedy's good friend de Gaulle had just concluded a birthday celebration when the phone call came concerning President Kennedy. Initially, de Gaulle believed that Kennedy's call was about wishing him a happy 73rd birthday when someone on the other end of the phone informed de Gaulle that his good friend JFK was dead. Kennedy was killed on de Gaulle's birthday, and I'm sure that sent shivers up and down the spine of Charles de Gaulle. And answering Junior's question, rather, Joey says, so what is the assassination of JFK and the murder of Dante Wright at the hands of a white cop have to do with each other? Well, of course, we know Kennedy was killed on November 22nd, but also on the date November 22nd, a black 12-year-old boy by the name of Tamir Rice was just systematically and summarily shot dead by a white cop in 2015. The cop never made any attempt to have Tamir Rice put the gun down. He just pulled up into the park, got out of the passenger side, and shot the 12-year-old child dead. Now, I only find it to be slightly coincidental that the cop that shot Tamir Rice was named Loman, because shooting a 12-year-old who was waving a pellet gun was really about as low as you can go. Oh, no, Jeffrey, here's what was really low in this case. Finally, on this day, the 28th of December 2015, a grand jury in Cleveland declined to indict the white rookie police officer in the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Again, the child waving a pellet gun. However, Loman was eventually fired, but not for the murder of Tamir Rice, but because he falsified information on his job application.
That was a really cowardly low-down move not to indict this cop. I think this gives new meaning to the term low court.
Yeah, Junior, it does. So this has been Joey's Journal for the 28th day of December, 2021, with Giraffe in search of some just reasoning from the higher courts. And there is a $25 higher court challenge on the table, and that would get us down to $1,250 to go to finish the month of December and finish another calendar year. Actually, where we're supposed to be. So, thanks for the challenge, Joey and Giraffe and Junior. Thank you much. Let's see. Going back to what I was talking about yesterday for a moment, Lee sent something along because Take Me Home Country Roads, the CBS piece, left such a bad taste in your mouth. This may help you to recover. What goes into a box of C's candies? Oh, I love C's. It's so good. The I wish they made the chocolate lollipops in sugar-free. But still, I enjoy them just the same. Oh, the chocolate ones are so good. As to the Bengals and the Steelers, there's no rivalry, says Steve in New York. I generally count on the Bengals choking. I was just throwing some schadenfreude on a Steelers fan lamenting a bad year or two, as opposed to a bad decade or two. I understand. Mm-hmm. Lee in New York says, as far as the JFK assassination update goes, I just want to know how much of the new information is about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz's, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's, dear father, Rafael Primus. I said Primus. I'll quit that. So anyway, if you'd like to augment your listening experience for the program this evening, run on over to headon.live. And click on chat room. You will be immediately greeted by Anatole and Roger in Oregon, Squeaky and Stockton Larry and Timo, and capably moderated both by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has folded space to become Man Cave, although I'm guessing not in the Man Cave itself. This is Man Cave Sub 1. And also pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. It's nice to have the whole gang together on this Titanic Tuesday evening, and we have some Titanic intellect to look into this evening, without a doubt. But I think for me at least, the lead story. Oh wow, how about that? Matt in San Francisco says, "I grew up a few blocks from the C's headquarters plant. The aroma in the breeze on hot afternoons coming from the plant was awesome." Oh, I can only imagine. I remember being a boy and, I remember when I was young, we took a trip to St. Louis once and we were down there in the area where the Switzer's licorice factory was. And that whole area down there smelled like sweet, fresh licorice. And then of course there was the Budweiser brewery. That hop smelled really good when we toured it, too. And the malt before it, because, yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as a story to start us this evening, Peter Navarro, good God, they really were hell-bent on a coup, the maggots were, a coup to overturn constitutional governance in the United States. Of course, had they succeeded, they would have hooted and brayed and barked and grunted and pissed and moaned that they were doing democracy. That's one thing we tend to forget. But there's a book. They've all got books now, it seems, all these maggots, confessing what they knew, and they're kind of brazen, sort of proud about it. And according to Peter Navarro, as reported by the Daily Beast, the man who looks like old hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon, was at the center of the coup. This might explain his unwillingness to honor a subpoena that was dropped on him. But in the book, Navarro confesses, I mean, it certainly reads like a confession, that he had been coordinating with members of the House of Representatives and the Senate to overturn the results of the November 2020 election. Among other people, he said that he worked with the demon dentist from Arizona, Paul Gozer. That was the demonic deity Gozer, wasn't it? In one of the Ghostbusters movie. Yeah, there's only Zool. But along the way, Navarro apparently sent an email, a text message rather, to Mark Meadows that said, "I'm sorry. We tried." They had a name for their conspiracy and everything. They called it the Green Bay Sweep. Huh. And interviewed by the Daily Beast, Peter Navarro said, "We spent a lot of time lining up over 100 congressmen, including some senators. It started out perfectly. At 1 p.m., Gozer and Cruz did exactly what was expected of them. It was a perfect plan, and it all predicated on peace and calm on Capitol Hill. We didn't even need any protesters because we had over 100 congressmen committed to it. That commitment appeared as Congress was certifying the 2020 Electoral College votes, reflecting that Joe Biden beat Trump." All this is in the Daily Beast report. Cruz joined in Gozer's official objection to counting the electoral ballots for Arizona. Other maggots were on board. And they're admitting it. Yeah. They're apparently proud of it. And Peter Navarro is running around doing the obligatory book hustle. He was on Steve Bannon's show earlier this month, and I don't know if this is a throwing under the bus or if Peter Navarro is just a fuck up.
January 6th, this whole notion that little Jamie Raskin's got that somehow President Trump wanted to do an insurrection. You are the hero on January 6th, Steve. As I say in Chapter 21 of In Trump Time, you were the guy who had the Green Bay Packers sweep strategy to go up to Capitol Hill. Pence is the quarterback. That we had 100 people working on the Green Bay team as linemen, halfbacks, and fullbacks, pulling guards, who were going to make sure that we remanded the results back to the battleground states for a couple of weeks so we could get to the bottom of that.
How about that? Remand it back to the states so we could get to the bottom of that. The bottom of what? The cleanest election in years and years and years and decades ever in the United States? No, you were the hero, Steve Bannon. Mm-hmm. And really, Mike Pencilneck Geek was the quarterback. Well, now. So, little Jamie Raskin, as Navarro refers to him, has a better legal mind than probably 99.9% of the so-called the constitutional geniuses of the right-wing side. So I guess the upshot of Navarro's complaint is that it's sort of the Scooby-Doo thing, and we would have gotten away for it too if it weren't for you meddlesome maggots. Like what? And of course we know now that there's a phone call, or perhaps phone calls, from Nitwit Nero to the Willard Hotel, where the war rooms were, as they coordinated the insurrection. Yeah. Remand back to the state. Stephen New York says, you know, they just say shit. There's nothing anywhere in the law about remanding back to the states. And in point of fact, one does not remand back, one merely remands. The back is superfluous. Which, while it may seem like, while that may seem a bit petty on my part, it's not. If you have no working idea of the procedure involved, you make silly errors like remand back. Matt in San Francisco, subject line seditionist. They really should be making up the cots in prison so all these fuckers can be put away for a long time. Really, the adults need to do something and do it quick. They're going to do it again. Yeah, that's become a... Y'all, they're going to do it again. They may do it in 2022. Remember, like we were talking about, Matt, it just gets worse, said that he's going to install... If the Republicans take the House in 22, that he, by God, Matt, it just gets worse... is going to install Nitwit Nero as the Speaker of the House. I wonder who Matt Gaetz thinks will actually do the heavy lifting of running the House of Representatives, because, well, Nitwit Nero won't know how. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, a little memo to Merrick Garland. Any thoughts about maybe prosecuting Matt? It just gets worse, you know, for allegedly paying an underage girl for sex. Any notions on that? Anything happening? Any developments? Any applications for search warrants or arrest warrants or any, I don't know, grand jury presentments going on? I don't know, grand juries are all secret and shit. Ron and Raleigh says, I remember the Green Bay power sweep, pulling guards Jerry Kramer and Fuzzy Thurston, followed by Paul Horning. Yep, it was, it seemed damn near unstoppable in its day. And, you know, run to daylight and all of that. So, that's just a place to get our conversation started. At what point in time, really, based, you know, along the lines of what Matt's talking about, at what point in time do the indictments come out? Navarro said, my role was to provide the receipts for the 100 congressmen or so who would make their cases, who could rely in part on the body of evidence I'd collected to lay the legal predicate for the actions to be taken. Because he'd gathered evidence. You know, this is the same evidence that court after court after court heard and bounced out of court. He continued and said, Steve Bannon's role was to figure out how to use this information, what he called receipts, to overturn the election result. That's how Steve had come up with the Green Bay sweep idea. The political and legal beauty of the strategy was this. By law, both the House of Representatives and the Senate must spend up to 2 hours of debate per state on each requested challenge. For the 6 battleground states, that would add up to as much as 24 hours of nationally televised hearings across the 2 chambers of Congress. And then, on the morning of January 6th, Peter Navarro gets up, sees a text message from the man who looks like old hot dog water smells. It read, call the play. Run the play. Why do you need coded language if everything you're doing is open and above board and legal? Why do you need that? Call the play. Run the play. I mean, what is that? That's like, what was the code before December 7th, 1941? Climb Mount... Oh, I can't remember the name of the mountain. Dad, you know, you need coded language like that when you're planning a sneak attack. Meanwhile, Navarro talks about how he was invited to speak at the rally that proved to be the staging ground for the attack on constitutional governance and the seat of constitutional governance in the United States. He said, it was better for me to spend that morning working on the Green Bay sweep, just checking to see that everything was in line, that congressmen were on board. It was a pretty mellow morning for me. I was convinced everything was set in place. This is the very definition of a conspiracy. And they're owning it. And the cynical side of me wants to know if maybe they're owning it because they think they won't be touched. They think that they are... No, it wasn't Mount Suribachi. It's like climb Mount Tanaka or something. I don't know. But thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Mount Suribachi is on Iwo Jima, I think. Yeah. But they were ready to go. They were ready to overturn government, and they thought they were going to get away with it. They thought that if they could get 24 hours of hearings, they could turn, I guess they would turn the nation's will to what? That suddenly the millions more who had voted for Joe Biden would say, oh, well, you know, if you want Trump that bad, you can have it. We'll just give up the Constitution. Whatever. What the fuck? Flavio says, so much for the Constitution. It's only as good as the people who follow it and enforce it. Otherwise, it's just a piece of paper. Or perhaps vellum, I think. But yeah, that's the argument that I've made for years. I call it my Tinkerbell theory of the Constitution. Anybody who's ever seen the play Peter Pan knows that toward the end of the play, old Tink's in a bad spot and she's dying because she needs people to believe in her in order for her to continue to live. And of course, if you attend the play, the way that you manifest your belief in Tinkerbell is by clapping. And the Constitution is not much better, or not much stronger, I should say. If people do not believe in it, it will fall all to pieces. Meanwhile, Flavio cites the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector or president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability. That, of course, is one of the Civil War amendments, and it was designed to limit the ability of the former treasonous members of this, Congress, et cetera, from the South from holding office. And it speaks to shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same. The problem being, you would have to prove it. And it's the proof that is the rub in this situation. You can't just say it. It has to be proven. It has to be found in some sort of a court of law or in the, say, surrender of an insurrectionist army. Yeah. Beer hall putsch. Steve in New York says, you know, the January 6th plan was far more organized than Hitler's gang. Well, that's why the people who did the beer hall putsch wound up in prison for a while. But it too was little more than a dress rehearsal for what would come later. What was that, 1922? And he's in power by what, 1933? That's 11 years. We might do well to pay attention to this sort of thing. And as we discussed in yesterday's program, there is talk that they hope to have at least a substantial interim report from the January 6th Commission by summer. If they don't, then, well, I don't know. Because the entire January 6th Commission is kaput if Republicans take the House. Gee, is that enough to get people out to the polls to maintain the Democratic majority in the House? You think? Are there that many people out there that really sit around wringing their hands and worrying about the Constitution? I mean, I know we do here. I'm not downplaying it. We do here. But how about the vast majority of Americans? The people who spend their time watching reality television shows and worrying about who's getting divorced from whom and whatnot. Now, by the way, and this is an unpaid product placement, I it was recommended that I should, and so I did. I fired up Netflix last night, and Annette and I watched Don't Look Up. It's a hell of a film. It is a hell of a film. It is biting and sharp political satire. I don't know how many people will recognize it for what it is. The comet, everybody, I presume if you've seen the trailers, you know it's about a comet headed for Earth. The comet does a hell of a lot of work standing in for the pandemic. And no spoilers, but, you know, another aspect of our culture that comes in for not at all favorable coverage is, of course, the for-profit media. Tyler Perry and Kate Blanchett play a duo, a morning duo, who do a stellar job of just being so vapid. It is worth the watch. For those of you familiar with the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi and Liv Tyler and others, you'll recognize that movie gets a bit of a send up. Also getting a little bit of a treatment, or at least a sort of a historical echo. Network. So it is available for viewing on Netflix, and I highly recommend it. Some of the humor is worthy of my hero, Kurt Vonnegut. It's about a comet headed for Earth. Thanks for the damn spoiler, Kincaid. You just gave the whole plot away. Okay, Brother Deacon. I mean, it's not like it's not right there in the trailer. Trailer's been out for a month or so, at least. Yeah. But it's well worth a watch. Flavio says an interim report by summer it'll be too late. Well, the question is whether whatever they put out will be enough to inspire Merrick Garland, Federalist Society member, to rouse himself from his apparent torpor to do something about this. It's not like baseball where there's no clock. There's definitely a clock here. And some of the efforts of Merrick Garland's DOJ are something less than inspiring. There was a man supposed to be in court today. His name is Bowner from Michigan, apparently. The bear spray guy is what he was called. He brought bear spray to the January 6th insurrection. Now, how many peaceful protesters do you know who bring a tank full of bear spray and hose down cops with it? He was supposed to have a hearing at 11 o'clock this morning. Only he wasn't there. And nobody, well, the court said they thought that he might be in transit from a jail in Michigan to a jail in D.C., but The DOJ was less than certain. They said that that could be true, but he might also be in Oklahoma. Oklahoma. No, we're not going back to that. But the bottom line was, they really didn't know where this guy was. He was said to have been one of the more violent of the insurrectionists who have so far been charged. About that. How about that? Don't know where he is. No. Just, you know, it's kind of a mystery, I guess. Where he might be. Yeah, if you want to read more on the January 6th commission and their hopes for the summer, Representative Chairman Benny Thompson of Mississippi said, "We don't have a specific date, but we'll have some rolling hearings that'll go on a good bit. It'll be a non-traditional type of hearing." Adam Schiff said, "I think we'll want for the hearings to tell the whole story. Security at the Capitol, the intelligence leading up to the president, leading up to the attacks, lack of intelligence." Well, when you say president and lack of intelligence, I consider that to be redundant. "The role of social media, the former president's role, the role of those around him, and tell it in a fashion so the public knows exactly what is going on. The final report, they think, will follow by autumn 2022. The sooner they start those, public hearings and get the public testimony, the better. Which jail is the insurrectionist in?" Lee asks. Hint: if you could be in any multiple jails, you're in deep trouble. Thing is, I don't know that they, that Oklahoma, that made you, I was just in Oklahoma. So wait, says Matt in San Francisco, the group responsible for holding the seditionists isn't quite sure where he is. That's concerning. Yeah, it really is. I mean, how do you lose a treacherous insurrectionist, and especially a particularly violent one? I don't know. But at least one insurrectionist has checked in to the stir. Jenna Ryan. You remember Jenna. She was a real estate agent in Texas. And she bragged that she would never see the inside of a jail because she's blonde and white. Well, she started the long process of serving out her 60 days for her participation in an assault on constitutional governance. She was sentenced last month. She was supposed to report in January, but she decided she'd rather get it over quicker. She checked into the Bryan Federal Prison Camp in Texas just before Christmas. And one individual, a prison consultant, said it may have been a strategic decision on her part because she recently announced that she has a book deal. Yeah. Daniel Wise saying, "I have to imagine that there was a motive behind this, and your motive probably is you want to go in there. Now you can write in your book what it was like to be in prison for Christmas." This is something he put out on YouTube. I mean, I think people are going to see right through the smokescreen. I don't think you're going to get a lot of sympathy. Well, I mean, another prison consultant, I didn't know there were those. This is Holly Coleman. Jenna Ryan asked her and said, wanted to know, could she choose to be in solitary because she was afraid she might be hit with a lock in a sock? Coleman reported, but she eventually decided she'd do just fine in the general population, claiming she knows how to make friends with anyone. Ryan goes, I grew up in the streets. Regardless, Ryan has big plans for her time in prison. In videos that they post about this on TikTok. She said she's looking forward to doing lots of yoga in prison. And that it would be worth going to prison if she loses 30 pounds, thanks to a new workout regimen and diet free from alcohol and junk food. They really don't understand, do they? Yeah, the judge sentenced her to 60 days for her own good so that she could come out looking svelte. Yeah. Well, again, the prison consultant. She's not going to lose weight. She's going to probably gain weight because of how they cook everything in there with starches and all that. I don't think she realizes what she's about to walk into. 60 whole days for assaulting the government of and engaging in insurrection against the United States of America. Go figure. I mean, just wow. Hard time for Jenna Ryan. Hard time. Oh, and by the way, I don't know how this makes it so far down in the stack. But there we are. The NRA's roulette wheel o' death went round and round and round and round and stopped again in Colorado. I don't know why it keeps stopping in Colorado, but it did. A killing spree as of late yesterday. Started about 5 p.m. Central in Central Denver, Mountain Time Zone, so that would have been about 7 here. A gunman murdered two women, wounded a man, went on several blocks and killed another man. Then the cops finally began exchanging gunfire with him. He then fled to Lakewood, Colorado, a suburb of Denver, and killed another person at a business there. Eventually, the shooter himself, the homicidal maniac, or perhaps the lawful gun owner, was shot and killed. But we don't know, based on the reporting so far, we don't know if the cops actually shot him. Unknown as to the condition of the two people who were wounded. The police, of course, have no motive, except to say that it was a killing spree. But for anybody keeping up with the numbers, for the year 2021, and my God, this was the 687th mass shooting in the United States of America. Mass shootings are calculated as being shootings in which four or more people are killed or injured without including the suspect. So 687 times in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, in, let's see, 28, in 362 days. 687 mass shootings in 362 days. The NRA got exactly what it wanted. They grunted and barked and hooted and hollered about what a dangerous place this is and how everybody had to have easy access to firearms. And then people had those easy access to firearms. And now, it's a terribly, terribly, terribly dangerous, bloody place. 687 people dead. No. Four or more. So at a minimum, oh dear, there's going to be ciphering involved. 687 mass shootings. So we fire up the calculator. So that's 687 times 4. That's at least 2,748 people dead. Let's divide that by 362. That's 7.59 people dead per day as a result of mass shootings in the United States of America. But, of course, we can't do anything about it. No, we wouldn't want to do anything about it. I mean, actually, the American people desperately want to do something about it. It's one of those rare issues where there seems to be broad consensus on the issue. 60, 70% Republicans and Democrats saying that we need some sort of legal redress for these ongoing grievances. And there are people in the House of Representatives who would like to do something about it. There are even some people in the Senate of the United States who would like to do something about it. Got some legislation out of the House of Representatives. And, of course, back during the previous Congress, it just went and sat on in a pool of blood and dust on the desk of Moscow Mitch McConnell. And speculation is, of course, awful and useless. But why do you reckon he did it? Because pretty sure it was a he. It's almost always a he. Two women, two men. And, well, the cops get a little uncomfortable about, they don't like to put out names now because, you know, gosh, we don't need to know the name of the lawful gun owner who destroyed the universe for several people, shattered families beyond repair. Yeah. Mass shootings. Lee in New York says, I can imagine the reporter asking Wayne LaPeter, why have there been 687 mass shootings this year? Poor marksmanship. They needed to join the NRA. You know, we could have made them better shooters. Because remember, that was the original purpose of the NRA, to make people better at handling firearms. Happened in the, it was founded in the wake of the Civil War. Back to Jenna Ryan. Jude says, ah, Jenna, I read her story a while back and how optimistic she was. She referred to herself as a life coach. She'd also been watching videos on prison life and now had an understanding of life behind bars. Oh, my. P.S. She may think she'll have a Martha Stewart experience. Or maybe she thinks she'll be a superstar. Or a prison celebrity. Book deal. Flavio says, everybody is a book deal. You get a book deal. You get a book deal. You get a book deal. Even Adam Schiff is touting his book. The January 6th Commission will reveal that it was all a conspiracy for everybody to get a book deal. Capitalist country, Flavio. Everybody got to get paid. Yeah, Ralph's, Jenna Ryan, Lock in a Sock. Yeah, it could be. Kind of like the Cat in the Hat, or, well, I don't know, a Fox in a Box, or a Train in the Rain. Told you we had Titanic Tuesday stuff. Oh, and we had an Alex Jones sighting last night. Alex Jones. He was apparently beaten up by his wife. It's going to be rough on his macho reputation. But he was on air. He was on air today. And he's once and for all pissed off with Nitwit Nero. He said all he can stand, can't stands no more. There's just so much that the purveyor of paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage can put up with, and Alex has found his Rubicon.
Persecuted for supporting Trump. It makes it 10 times worse, because I know Podesta's evil, and I know Hillary's evil, and I know Obama's evil, and I know Fauci's evil, and I know Bill Gates is evil, and I know they're all evil. But Trump did a lot of good, and I believed in him, and so the fact that he's done this makes it personal. It makes it hurt.
It hurts. You know what it is that hurts him? Because Nitwit Nero said he got the vaccine and he got the booster. Yeah. And the fact that he said it's a good idea to get the vaccine and get the booster. Yeah, Alex Jones said that he had to either be ignorant or evil. And then suggested, you're either completely ignorant about the so-called vaccine gene therapy that you helped ram through with Operation Warp Speed, or you're one of the most evil men who's ever lived to push this toxic poison on the public and to attack your constituents, who they simply try to save their lives and the lives of others. No, that's what the vaccine does, dickhead. Well, I guess we could call it Schadenfreude, black humor. To watch these people losing their shit. Of course, it's everything has an angle. It's all about figuring out a way to make bank. God. He hurt me. He is quite the little snowflake, isn't he? Alex Jones.
She beat me with a shampoo bottle. Really?
Doesn't look like Alex has much use for a shampoo bottle. Oh, well, that was catty.
Yeah.
Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Jenna Ryan. Maybe she could open for Kyle Rittenhouse on the speaking tour. Yeah. God, what was it? Toilet Paper US, TPUSA, that invited him a week or so ago, and they gave him a rousing ovation for having blown away a Jewish guy who was standing up against cops who shoot black guys in the back. I mean, how much more obvious do they need to become before they're just straight up the American Nazi Party? It's Damnedest thing. Oh, and stand by a minute. I've got to do something. All right. All better now. Oh, by the way, I have now filibustered away the first hour of the program. If you'd like to engage in some conversation, you're more than welcome. You know how to reach the program. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And the stress line, of course, 844-843-4676. The $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. That would be lovely if that was met. Thank you. Oh, and a reminder, here in about, if you're listening live, here in about 3 hours, I'll be filling in for Malloy. I'll be joined by our dear friend Tara Devlin, TaraBuster.com. Looking forward to that. It's always a great conversation. Oh, and, you know, shit keeps just going sideways for Nitwit Nero. There were plans for the Professional Golfers Association, the PGA, to hold their PGA Championship tournament at Trump National Golf Course in New Jersey. Bed Monster. He hangs out either at Bed Monster or Mar-a-Lardass. Well, they have they've reached a settlement agreement. Details were not released. That's often the case with settlements. But so there will be no PGA Championship at Trump National in New Jersey because the PGA canceled the contract. I guess maybe it's too toxic. Executive Vice President Eric the Dumber said, "We have great respect for the work of the PGA over the past 20-plus years. We've enjoyed working with the PGA to deliver to our club members and the public some of the greatest golf experiences anywhere in the world. We look forward to continuing to support the mission of the PGA and its professionals who are the best in the golf industry." Well, they're professional golfers. I mean, yeah. It's going to be played in Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The last time the PGA Championship was there was 2007. Mm-hmm. But no big to do for Nitwit Nero and his and the dodgy environs of Bed Monster. Wasn't it Bed Monster where they overserved a patron who went out and crashed their car, hurt somebody, something like that? Isn't that, do I remember that correctly? Seems like. Now, they played nice, the PGA did. They said, "The Trump Organization's contribution to the golf community is appreciated. We're thankful the company employs hundreds of dedicated PGA professionals and consistently gives back to the golf community through hosting charitable events and sponsoring junior golf programs. It's a major championship-worthy golf course." But we're not going to hold the PGA Championship there. Oh, hell no. They made the decision not to hold it there, interestingly enough, just shortly after the maggot mob attacked the capital of the United States back on January 6th. PGA of America President Jim Richardson back then said, it's become clear that conducting the PGA Championship at Trump Bedminster would be detrimental to the PGA of America brand and would put at risk the PGA's ability to deliver on many programs and sustain the longevity of our mission. Which is a little bit, well, that's the real. We would like to not become toxic by virtue of association with a toxic grifting family. Yeah, I know what would hurt Alex. David the Blind says. His wife having him giving him a chicken bone broth suppository right before. Oh dear God! Really, Dave, you're going after dinner in the Eastern and Central time zones right before sexy time. The phone by this by sandpapering his backside to help him sit down less comfortably. Woo, Dave! I don't know if we're going to let you play anymore. That's just wicked. Babe, breathe, my friend. Subject line, PGA, Matt in San Francisco says, so they're taking harsher action against Trump than the U.S. government is? Good thing I'm at the gym and work off this anger. Sorry, Matt, I don't mean to make you scream and hoot and bark while you're working out. Just tell your other neighbors there that you'll be okay in a moment. But yeah, the PGA's going rougher on the Trump gang than so far anybody in the government has. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with a friend we haven't heard from in a while. It's Ken out in Hawaii. Hey, Ken. Aloha.
Aloha, Robin.
Good to hear from you.
Oh, congratulations on your surgery.
Thank you.
Sounds like everything went all right.
Went pretty well. I'm pretty good. Happy about things.
Good. Just letting you know, we've been listening the whole time. Sorry I hadn't been in touch as much, you know. Just stressing over all the craziness.
there is no shortage. Maybe shortages of other things, but not of the craziness.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the big lie carries on, and it's just amazing. You know, it's they're turning health issues into politics. It's just the whole thing. It's just amazing. You know, I've got family back there in Virginia, and they're so snowed. Oh, it's so scary. You know, I went back to Virginia back in, what was it, 2019, I think, for my father's funeral. And it was amazing, the difference in being in Virginia seemed like I was in a different country. Living in Hawaii, I guess we're spoiled because we're not subjected to all the propaganda, the militarism, you know, but while I was there, every commercial, get a special discount if you're in the military, get a special discount, you know, buy a truck and get 10,000 off if you're in the military, all these extra little perks. And then the thing that caught me so much was crazy. They had on a like nightly news, they had to censor a pot leaf. And then like when they went to commercial, they were selling CBDs.
Yeah, because there's a corporation making the CBDs.
Right. You know, it's hilarious. And on the East Coast, they call it smokable hemp. I'm like, smokable hemp. Okay. Whatever gets you through, fuckers.
Smokable
hemp. You know, it's like, yeah, they got all these you know, people in North Carolina and Virginia, you know, that just because there's a caveat in the law that says that if you call it this and call it that, you can do it, you know, all that little bullshit, and, you know, and if you got no money, you can always get around the laws. That's so corporations are able to be the first ones into all this stuff.
Well, that was the thing that blew my mind when I bought the gummies down in Alabama. Of all the places that I would think I could not buy psychoactive gummies, Alabama would be really high on the list, Ken. But there it was.
Yeah.
You know, Delta 9 gummies. And supposedly, you know, it doesn't look like there's a lot in them. And maybe I'm just a lightweight now. But, wow. So, in my attempt to cut...
It would technically be illegal. Hey, it's technically illegal there, but, you know, people are able to get by with just because it's such a flood of the market. The market is so huge, you know, they cannot control it.
They just can't, they can't interdict it anymore. It's not like bales washing up off of Key West.
No. And like you said, when a corporation produces it, it's harder for them to just go out and, you know, they can't go and arrest a corporation. I don't know why, but, you know, that's just, you know, corporations are people, my friend. Soylent Green is real.
Yes, it is. Know? Yes, it is.
You know, man, don't look up. You know, don't fucking look up. Just look down.
You've seen it then?
Oh, fucking A. Oh, I'm sorry I'm cussing so much. I'm just, oh,
no,
my
God. You're fine.
So much. There's so much shit going on. It's just so much. And it's like, nobody's, you know, the mainstream media is still saying, there was something where they were showing how the exact same numbers under Trump, and they praised Trump for it. And Biden, oh, same numbers. Oh, God, it's all depressing. You know, it's like, it just shows, you know, corporate media, because they're paid to shill. They're paid to shill. Sorry.
Well, and look, like, you know, fostering the horse race is always good for the for-profit media. And in point of fact, you know, they're all owned by corporations that are they're far more ideologically attuned to people like Trump, which just gags me.
Interlocking boards, you know, the CEO interlocking boards, you know, you've got a lot of the same people on the same boards of all these different corporations. You've only got five corporations owning all of mainstream media, you know, so it's you know, and we just can't even come close to touching all the crazy religious shit out there. The religious radio and the religious, you know, I mean, it's not just radio anymore. It's, you know, they're all on the internet and everything now, you know, but, you know, they have my grandmother. My grandmother gave more money to the freaking church than she did her kids. And I'm like, huh? That's how, you know, because she was sitting there listening to the freaking religious radio or whatever until she died, you know? It's like... I don't know. It's nuts.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, how have y'all weathered the pandemic out there?
Pretty well. You know, most people use masks out here, so it spreads slower, and, you know, it's just, you know, people getting vaccinated more. You know, the hippies don't want to get vaccinated, but, you know, and yeah, I got a bunch of friends that are like that, but... there's not a big right-wing population at all, but there's a few, and those few do get vocal, but they just don't have no power out here.
What a lovely idea. A world without a right-wing power base.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I'm just helping my boy up the steps. He's got hip problems and back problems now. He's getting up there. He's, well, 10 years old for a pit bull. He's but he was 110 pounds, so his weight was always going to be an issue.
Yeah. Oh, poor fella.
Jackson.
So when did you watch Don't Look Up?
Was it last night or the night before? I think.
Okay,
I think
so
the
it's
night
still
before.
So it's still pretty fresh with you too.
Oh, yeah, very, very. I'm not a very emotional person, but I was freaking crying at the end. you know, because I'm just like, oh my, it's just like, you know, the family sitting, you know, I ain't going to say nothing else. So, you know, family sitting. Yeah. Oh, shit.
And you know, well, I'm just going to say this. Don't, just because the credits roll, don't turn it off. Because there's there's more movie after the credits.
I don't know if I could sit through it right then, maybe now, but
and as actors go, Mark Rylance is a genius. Because
which one's that, Mark Rylance?
He's the guy that played the billionaire.
Oh God! Oh, it's supposed to be the Steve Jobs, Elon Musk type.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good. Yeah, he's an Elon Musk type, and just I mean, I want to talk about it, but I don't want to ruin it. It's just for people, you know, for people like us, we're going to get it. What I'm hoping is that maybe some people who wouldn't ordinarily watch it will watch it, and maybe the light will go on. Because I think that was part of the impetus behind, behind making it. One of the things that surprised me in the credits was to see that one of the executive producers was David Sirota. Progressive journalist, and I wasn't he spokesman for Bernie at some point in the last campaign?
Yeah, I'm familiar with his work, but I can't place him offhand. I just lost my thought. Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, it's been nuts, you know. Like I said, about the family back in Virginia. I've got this one family member who I can show him the videos of January 6th, all I want, and he just doesn't believe it. I'm like, I don't understand it. How could you not, you know, it's not that he thinks it was Antifa, but he's just like, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. Like, no, it wasn't coordinated. No, it wasn't timed. It wasn't planned. No, nothing happened. You know, people were warning of it. Nothing was going to happen. No, the weapons weren't staged. You know, the bombs weren't placed. No, nothing. Yeah. Just put them blinders on really good. You know, he is in Virginia, but still, you know, I sent him videos. I sent him the videos, and he said he watched them, but, you know.
Yeah.
Between the Vice video, the all the stuff HBO put out, the ABC video.
That shit's chilling.
You know, I don't know which one it was. I think it's the New York Times one that goes, like, minute by minute, you know, and shows that they were there. The freaking Proud Boys were already over there when Trump was still talking. So it was totally coordinated. As soon as he stopped, that's when they started the attack, because they were like, oh, we got backup coming now.
And so
far, and they showed where one of the Proud Boys went around to the other side to engage the other side, you know, get all those protesters riled up. Man, it's like,
the thing that just really crawls all over me, Ken, is the fact that, you know, Steve Bannon's being charged with criminal contempt. And, Mark Meadows, maybe more. But the Department of Justice, which has jurisdiction, has yet to charge any of these ne'er-do-wells with any substantive crime arising out of this. And that's deeply worrisome.
The one that got like five years, that was the longest term yet. Wasn't he charged with like interfering with a government procedure or something?
Yeah, the guy.
So they're getting closer to the actual charge.
Well, but that guy was just one of the schmucks that was out there attacking cops. The people who planned this, the people who executed the plan.
Alexander and all of them. No, they hadn't been touched. You know.
Right.
No. And this really worries me that he's Merrick Garland's a member of the Federalist Society. I mean, I think I said to you when Trump was elected, and that might be the last time I called you. Unfortunately, you know, I just hadn't been able to call. But the last time I called you was like right before Trump got elected or right when Trump got elected. And I think I said we've been set up with a catch-22. And no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to get out of it because they've got that little thing in the background. No matter what little kick we do, they already got the thing in the background to overcome it. It's...
Yeah, like
you know,
they're a few moves ahead of us on the chessboard, like it was planned, maybe,
right.
But like there was a plot.
Yeah, and when you have conspiracy, you know, when they charge RICO, isn't there a lot more powers to the justice system or whatever when they go after RICO?
Oh Lord, yes. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do with the RICO statute.
So what are they waiting on? This is definitely a RICO. This was definitely, should be charged in a RICO sense. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just listening to all my friends that are freaking awesome.
All you have to do is look back at RICO prosecutions. I mean, our pal Billable Rick has talked about that at some length. There are a lot of options that come with RICO.
Can we not say Rudy Giuliani was a mob
prosecutor? Yeah,
prosecutor. Did he not use RICO? I mean, what is this? You know, is this a freaking clown show? Are Democrats just freaking completely inept, or are they throwing it? That's what I want to know. I don't understand what the fuck the Democrats are doing.
I don't think
why the hair is not on fire. Why they're not screaming, I don't get it, you know? Well, this is fine. The gentleman across the aisle is not trying to kill me. No! I'm sorry to be cynical, but what the hell am I supposed to be after 50 years? Living in America.
Well, I think the desire, Ken, for process and normalcy and stability, that stuff runs bone deep, and they don't want to let go of it. I think that, and I've heard other people say it as well. They think they're living in a time that they're not living anymore. This is not that America anymore.
No. Also, when I went home in 2018 or 2019, it was earlier. It was earlier because it was when Trump had the 4th of July fireworks. And I was coming into D.C. airport, and I got stuck there and had to stay overnight because of fucking Trump's parade or fireworks or whatever in fucking D.C. They rerouted me to the JFK or what the fuck? It's one that's like right inside D.C. almost. And I had to sit there overnight fucking on the floor because there's no way to lay down because, you know, God forbid the homeless might come in or something, you know, God forbid we're going to let somebody, you know, have a comfortable spot to sit, you know, so the place was God cold. And, you know, I was like coming from Hawaii. So I had fucking, you know, wrong clothes on. I should have just taken all my shit out and put on like five fucking layers. But anyway, it was just, because of Trump's parade and shit, I was stuck there. But it was cool to see the thriving, melting cup that America is. While we were watching these fireworks, I saw every race, every color, and we were all standing there enjoying the fireworks together, not talking about fucking Trump, you know. But where do they think they fucking live? What year do they fucking think they live in? Like you said, this is a country that's not been around since fucking slavery time or some shit.
Well, it worked ostensibly during Watergate. It kind of didn't work during Iran-Contra. And I think the prospect of really going, pardon the term, balls out, is terrifying to a lot of people. A lot of people in government. You know, we talk about it, and some people, I think, like, for instance, talking about getting rid of the filibuster, they know exactly what the Republicans will do if they get rid of it, but what they don't realize is they'll get rid of it anyway.
Yes. And Mitch McConnell's already said that. He ain't afraid to.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we have further agreement. I kind of halfway conjured Billable Rick. He said, Mark Rylance, Don't Look Up is a great movie with an awesome cast and prescient writing. Mark Rylance struck me he was like an Andy Warhol-like high-tech character. Very weird. My advice to the Horn family, don't miss Don't Look Up.
Yes. Excellent movie. And I saw some of the reviews, the people that are giving bad reviews are giving bad reviews because, you know, they just don't want, you know, these type of movies out there. And one of the bad reviews is like, oh, it's like a bad Saturday Night Live skit that just goes on and on. And that's the same type of person that would give it a bad comment because they probably hate Saturday Night Live because it points out a lot of truths and shit like that. You know, they don't like to be confronted with truths.
No, and of course, you know, the media outlets that are panning it because the media outlet comes in for a pretty rough treatment.
Yeah, Mika and Joe. Even though Joe's black, and it's still Mika and Joe, you know? And then notice it's not Fox they're pandering. I'm pretty sure it's more MSNBC type show that they're skewering there.
Yeah, but of course, you know, again, no spoilers. At one point in time, there is a show that there's a clip of something that calls itself the Patriot News Network, and the genius, of course, of casting Meryl Streep as the president and her son as the chief of staff.
Oh my God!
Well, that was. Yeah. You know, and again, these are not spoilers. This is just casting. Jonah Hill as her son, the chief of staff, and Meryl Streep as the president. And she could not have portrayed her role any more Trumpy.
And the son played perfect Don Jr. I mean, it was just...
Well, see, okay, you and Annette both said they saw Don Jr. in it. I saw Jonah Hill playing his character Precious Princess Iwanka My Daddy Trump Kushner. Jonah,
no, because Ivanka would have gone. You know, I only get into spoilers. Ivanka would have been treated differently by the president. So that's why it was Don Jr.
Well,
but
this was in reverse because the Jonah Hill character constantly talks about how hot his mama is.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah. It was gross.
Cringe. Oh my God. Yes, it was bad. It was bad. But yeah. Just want to give I know you watched them and all, but Glenn Kirshner and Allison Gill, you know, a lot of information there on the legal aspects of all this. And, you know, Allison's like, you know, kind of hold your horses, don't get so worried. But, you know, everybody's like, you know, this Merrick Garland is fucking, seems like droopy dog. You know, he's just like, you know, he really needs to grow a pair. You know, I think Droopy Dog was a male. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry to get sexist, but.
Yeah. Droopy was a boy.
I don't know.
I know.
Whatever term we use nowadays to actually mean you got to get a spine there. You got to grow a spine nowadays. it's like Droopy just doesn't have a spine. I don't know if it's that influence of the Federalist Society or what, but you know, if he was a white nationalist prosecutor too. He went after, you know, Timothy McVeigh or Terry Nichols, which one of them, you know.
I think it was Terry Nichols. Might have been Timothy McVeigh, you know? Too. Yeah. It's
I'm just worried. I don't know what else to put it, you know. Yeah. Just because I'm over here doesn't mean that I'm not feeling it and not seeing it and feeling for all y'all. And you know, I don't know where I'd be without your community. I feel for all y'all, you know.
Well, it's your community too, so you know, just we're all in this together, Ken. And it's great to hear from you. It really, really is. I hope things continue to go well for you out there on the Big Island, and you'd be surprised how often I think of you.
Yeah, we're hanging in here. My wife's doing a lot better. She's, 2.5 years past the cancer now, so.
Wonderful news.
You know, we're waiting on that 5-year mark, you know, but, you know, she's doing great. And I totally think the cannabis helped, you know. If nothing else, it helped her to take 2 less drugs that they were recommending. And she got off the chemo, like within 6 months. And I think they recommended, 6 months to a year. So like the lightest dose you could done, you know. So she did 6 months and not a full whole year, you know. But, fuck cancer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So she's doing well.
Yeah. She's a fighter. She's a fighter. She only had probably 1 or 2 days where she's just such a fucking kick ass. You know, she only had a couple of days where she even slowed down. I remember, I do a lot of the drone shots and she sells the houses and we were on this one sale and she got all woozy and she was not feeling good, you know, and she should have been home, but she was still there and she just sat down for about 20 minutes and pushed right through it. You know, it was like, yeah, I think she was able to cancel out different. There was like 2 or 3 drugs that they wanted her to take just for side effects. And she was able to cancel those out for by using the cannabis oil, you know. But isn't that sick? 3 drugs for side effects.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
But I'm just so proud to know that she's...
One of those gave you the side effects you needed the other 2 for. So I was like, huh? But you have to take that one, so you're going to get the side effects of the others. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you're doing fine, Robin. You sound great. I hope everything keeps going good for you too.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. You know, there'll be ups and downs. In fact, this evening is a down because, you know, I did, and I've got to figure out some way to balance things out. I did 3 hours last night, and it took a lot out of me today. And so this will probably be a short show. Just so that I can, continue to heal. There's only so much pressure that I can take, but I'm getting better every day. I really, really am. And I feel better every day.
Well, you sound good. So that's good.
Well, thank you.
Worried there. I'm not good at keeping up and, I just want, you know, I wasn't sure how long you were going to be down there. And, it's like, I didn't hear the live program. I was like, oh man, did everything go all right? And I was like, oh my God, you know, we weren't really able to follow when you first got the surgery. So it was like, we were worried.
Yeah. I was off air for, the whole week of the surgery and then pretty much the week after.
Yeah, it was like good 2 weeks. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm a nervous Nelly, so it's like, oh shit. Yeah.
But
just being the COVID, you know, COVID and all, what a time. You know, of course you couldn't have picked that, you know. I just shit.
Right. I give the clinic and the doctor and the facility their high marks for doing what they could to mitigate it. There was no they did my surgery and everything in a separate hospital facility, and there was no COVID in that hospital. And then of course I was more or less quarantined because I couldn't go out anywhere for a couple of weeks. And then when we did start going out, nobody else may have been wearing masks, but by God, we were. Because you can't play with it, because that shit will kill you.
No, I've been safe, trying to be safe most of the time. And, just the only time I've been lax, I tried to just try to keep my distance. But like I said, I got a bunch of friends that are hippies that will not get the vaccine. They just, you know, they don't keep up with the news or anything anyway. So it's like, they're so off grid, you know, but they're just like, no, we're not going to do the shit the government tells you. And that's just the way they look at it. Not from a right wing or a left wing perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Just anti-authoritarian.
Nihilism.
Yeah. And nihilist. Sure.
Yeah. Well, part of it's nihilism, you know, I mean, I love the commune aspect and all a lot of these people that live in around here, but you know, things still can get to you. So, you know, the world's the world.
Yeah, it is. And, but, you know, all you can do is all you can do. And I hope you, Ken, it's great to hear from you. And I hope you stay safe, and our continuing best wishes to your beloved spouse, and just hope that she can stay free of it and be clear of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Well, we're trying.
Well, you take care, my friend. Don't let it be so long next time, okay?
Yeah, I'll try not to this time. I don't know, God. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just, I'm kind of a loner, and I had a lot of depression, so didn't talk to a lot of people, and COVID was just like the perfect excuse. I'm like, oh, good, I won't talk to nobody. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got too much in me to keep quiet, so I need to talk.
You do, and you should do it more often. Just had a note from our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. She said, Aloha energy cleanses. So
thank you. Yeah. Mahalo. Well, mahalo to all y'all for being the community that, you know, I need to keep up with, and y'all take care, and I love all y'all. You know, y'all take care.
And it is returned in equal measure. Ken, you take care, my friend. Be well.
Aloha.
Aloha. Ken, calling from Hawaii. So that was lovely. Like I said, this is apparently going to be a shortened program, because, well, it's a complicated process, but we'll get more in. And, well, hold on here. Stand by. Let's check in with Scott real quick. I hate to leave people hanging. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm okay. I'll tell you what. If you don't mind staying on the line, we will have a little bit of silence, and then I'll run right back, okay?
Okay.
Stand by. The program has not gone off the air. I'll be right back.
Well, I'll hum or something.
Sorry about the silence there, but things are things are a little different now.
Did you hear any of that?
No, I did not. I potted everything down. So.
So they didn't hear me either.
No.
Shit!
I thought you were kidding.
I was giving a tease as to what was going to be happening when you got back, padding for time. You know, like the player's down on the field, and it takes time to get the stretcher out there and to take his pulse and shine the light in his eye and then carry him off. Oh, well.
Yeah, and the smelling salts. Don't forget the smelling salts.
At least I heard it. Anyway, well, that's too bad.
Sorry about that. I thought you were kidding.
No.
I should know better by now.
Anyway, you know me. You know, lots of kids, pony rides, free hot dogs and balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you about the great lineup of late model, new, and used cars that you can find down here at Honest Ed's.
And don't forget, free car wash with Philip.
That's right. And bring Philip. As a matter of fact, let Philip drive. He needs to brush up on his maneuvering skills, braking especially. I was just going to tell you about you've seen the movie All the President's Men, right?
Oh, yes.
All right. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I have seen it easily 24 times or more in the intervening years, and even reread the book that it was based on. And I happened to be flipping through the stations today and found it on TCM. And having nothing else better to do, I sat and watched it and really paid attention. Do you remember the scene? It's kind of a pivotal moment in the movie where Woodward has met with Deep Throat for the third time or something. And Deep Throat says, get out your notebook, and lists the parade of horribles that Watergate didn't so much have as much to do with breaking into the headquarters. The cover up didn't have so much to do with that as it did with covering up other abuses in the area of using the FBI and the CIA and the NSA.
Right, because the entire Nixon administration was one big criminal enterprise.
Yes, exactly. Where did that sound?
Oh, hey, Scott, can I interrupt just for a second?
Sure.
Can you fix your microphone so that it's not rubbing on things?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I dealt with that little problem while I was down in Birmingham with my my lavalier mic, and it's just almost impossible to keep it from rubbing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me take off my my sweatshirt because I think that's what's causing it, the way that it hangs. Is that better?
Seems to be.
Okay. But anyway, the pivotal scene is after Deep Throat has spilled the beans to Woodward about just how deep this thing goes. Woodward and Bernstein go to Ben Bradley's house in the middle of the night, knock on the door, and he comes out in his bathrobe and pajamas and slippers and says, why can't we talk inside? And they say, well, the place may be bugged. And there's a pivotal quote. And in all the times that I have seen All the President's Men, that quote didn't really register so much as it did today. And here's the quote. He says, you know, the results of the latest Gallup poll, half the country never even heard the word Watergate. Nobody gives a shit. You guys are probably pretty tired, right? Well, you should be. Go home, get a nice hot bath, rest up 15 minutes, then get your asses back in gear. We're under a lot of pressure, you know, and you put us there. And here's the pivotal part. Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment to the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters, but if you guys fuck up again, I'm going to get mad. Good night. And that part about everything riding on what the rest of us do,
right,
really hit me today in a way that it hadn't before. And your previous caller, was his name Ken?
Yeah, that was Ken.
Okay. You all were talking about the it doesn't seem like the Democrats have revved things up. Well, I've got news. It's going to get better before it gets worse. And this January 6th committee is going to be the stage, the venue, where that's going to play out in multiple parts, in multiple ways, over most of calendar year 2022. So strap in. It's going to be good. By the time all of that is over, there will be no doubt in the minds of anybody who has a few viable brain cells to rub together that some shit came down and we must never let it happen again. So, I mean, that's just my...
Well, that is a classic example of your eternal optimism, and I appreciate it. The thing is, though, if they do not get it all out there in a fairly timely fashion, and the Republicans take the House, it's that wonderful monologue that Rutger Hauer delivers in Blade Runner. It's all just tears and rain.
Sure, I get that, but we're talking about what's going to happen in the next go round in the coming year, and I think that will be enough. Along, of course, in the midterms, with keeping control of the House and Senate, and in 2024, keeping control of the White House. But I'm just saying that it's going to be the ultimate show and tell. It's going to make the Watergate hearings seem innocent by comparison.
Well, if they come in and talk, I mean, there's going to be people come in and talk, but we already know that Nitwit Nero exercises profound coercive force.
Well, I understand. It's not going to be a smooth highway. It won't be the Autobahn. But what I'm saying is, having lived through this before with Watergate, which was different but has some similarities, the system does have cogs and gears and wheels in it that still function relatively well. And I think, given the events of almost a year ago, I think a lot of people got a tug on the sleeve when that happened. And once they hear it laid out, whether it's through the form of testimony or investigation or police and military officials and whoever, it doesn't have to all be testimony by the people that you're trying to get to sit, get their ass in the chair and get them to talk, because some of those aren't going to. But there's going to be enough witnesses testifying under oath truthfully that I think people will get a pretty comprehensive picture of what went on. I mean, Nixon never testified. John Mitchell was not a friendly witness. Haldeman and Ehrlichman certainly weren't friendly witnesses. But there may be a John Dean character, a joker in the deck, that maybe Trump hasn't contemplated. Because people can change their mind. People that were your big fans once upon a time, but saw what you did and willing to speak truth to that corrupt power. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's going to be a smooth sail all the way through. But the opportunity is certainly there. Now, let's see, hold the Democrats' feet to the fire to get them to take full advantage of it. And the fucking media, too. They like ratings bonanzas. This will be a ratings bonanza if they play it right. You know?
Oh, well, Well, I mean, meanwhile, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and Newsmuck, and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, will not cover it.
Oh, no. Hell no. Hell no. But what I'm saying is, if it's presented to people and the people give it at least some of their attention, and it's presented correctly, competently, I think a lot of people are going to be heavily surprised, is all I'm saying. And I know that I have this, reputation as the persistent optimist, but, isn't it about time things started turning around in a more favorable direction?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, It's not an impossibility. Certainly things have got to be somewhat.
I just wish we lived in a world, Scott, where when they get busted for, treachery and insurrection and damn near treason, if not actual treason, that they would actually be ashamed of it.
Yeah, well.
And sit down and shut up. But we don't live in that world.
I know. As I was saying in my little monologue that wasn't heard, I talked to my reality-based brother last night, my older brother, because he had sent me a nice Christmas card and a check and a gift card. And he mentioned in passing that he's going to send me a book. He said for me to read a particular book, but he's going to send me another book. And it's called Fields of Blood. Do you know anything about that book?
I want to say I've heard of that, but I don't know off the top of my head, no.
It's basically written by a woman who is, I believe, a professor and a historian, and has got lots of smarts about the topic. It has to do with the great similarities in the run-up to the Civil War. You remember this? Oh, you read about the Civil War, Robin. The great similarities in the Congress and in the political parties and in some of the populace in the run-up years to the Civil War and today. And he said to be prepared to just myself when I read this book, because it's an astonishing.
Oh, parallel. I have read that. Yes.
Did you read I can think it's called Fields of Blood. I think he said the name of it was.
I'm pretty sure I did.
And I can't remember the woman's name who wrote it. But if you want to see clips of her and interviews with her, I think there's a couple on C-SPAN from a year or so ago. But he told me months ago not to buy it because he was in the process of reading it. And then he was going to make sure I got my, or, you know, make sure I got the funds. To
The Field of Blood.
The Field of Blood. Okay. But I may push it to the top of my reading list. I've got other books.
Oh, no, this thing will blow you. It'll blow your mind.
Okay, well, I need my mind to be blown.
Joanne B. Freeman.
Freeman, yes. Yeah, he recommended it highly.
And then there's another book by Barbara Holland called Gentleman's Blood, which is a history of dueling.
I've heard of that.
That it dovetails nicely with the other one.
Huh. Well, I'll jot that down. But anyway, so I don't know that I got any more to give you. And you said something about there being, I wasn't here yesterday, but you said today might be an abbreviated show. How are you doing? Are you, you obviously made it back.
Yeah, made it back and did 3 hours last night.
Yeah.
And I've got to do an hour of Malloy. So I think I probably will knock off here at here and just rest a little bit because I can't just sit in the studio for extended periods of time like I used to, you know, and 4 hours.
Because that region is still, you know, understandably...
Tender.
Tender, yes. That's the word I was looking for.
And waiting for some of the swelling to go down, and, you know, that's what the ice packs are for, and you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but I've begun to wonder if while they were doing the surgery, they might have transplanted the bladder of a mouse into me in exchange for what I previously had. But everything's coming along. It's a slow process, and hell, I'm only 7 weeks post-op today.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other part of it is this was not like having a splinter removed or something.
No.
You know, this was...
There's a joke in there.
Well, no, I'm not even going to try for it.
I could do it in a second, but let's don't like say we didn't.
Major fucking surgery. I mean, life-altering surgery, you know, and this, you know, and because of, you know, the area of action, so to speak, you know, it's going to take longer than it would if you just had a finger in a splint or something.
Yes. You keep setting them up, and I keep letting them go by. Let's just keep doing that.
Well, I don't mean to. And would somebody answer me this question out there who's more technical than I am? I've had, well, first of all, Steve in Georgistan sent me a text the other day, a message, whatever, and said, watch this, don't look up, which I am going to, okay? But the other thing is, the other day, people were talking about these shows on Paramount, this one with Kevin Costner and the Yellowstone. Yellowstone, and then the 1881 or whatever it is movie, follow-up movie, which is actually a prequel. Is that?
Yes.
If I want it on Amazon Prime, I can't see a way to add it to my subscription.
No, I don't think you can add Paramount through Prime.
You can. They're advertising it for 99 cents for 2 months, and then it goes to the regular price.
Oh.
I'm going to have to call them because I added Showtime about a month and a half ago, and I've got a couple of other channels, you know, which are...
Well, and you've got, I mean, you know, with Yellowstone, you've got real binge-watching potential there.
Oh, yeah. And you know me, I love to binge. Yeah.
And, I got, and, you know, I'm, while we were in Birmingham, we watched both seasons of The Great on Hulu, and it is absolutely a brilliant show. It is bloodily, brutally hilarious.
Is that the G-R-E-A-T or the G-R-A-T-E?
The G-R-E-A-T. It's about, okay. it's a really loosely told story of Catherine the Great.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's hilarious, but very bloodily so.
Did she really do weird things with
no, equine creatures? No, just watch the show. Just watch. Okay. No.
Because I, you know, I just can't imagine a horse in bed having a smoke after that, you know.
Well, that all goes back to the, you know, the horse walks into the bar, orders the martini. The bartender thinks, oh, I'll get it over on this horse. That'll be $1,000. And bartender comes along, sees the horse is finishing the martini, says, you want another one? We don't get a lot of horses in here. And the horse says, no, at $1,000 a martini, I'm not surprised.
Well, that reminds me of the time that the...
That's the fastest I have ever told that joke.
The boy hummingbird married the retired circus elephant, the lady elephant.
Well, okay, you got to finish this.
And
I don't think
married.
I know it.
And they got married, and it's their wedding night. Remember, it's the female circus, retired circus elephant,
mm-hmm.
and the boy hummingbird.
Yes.
And things being what they are interspecially, the boy hummingbird had to approach from the rear, so he flew behind her and mounted his good lady. And her trunk went up, and she let out a bleat or whatever the horn the elephants do. And he was concerned, so he flew back around to her face and said, I'm not hurting you, am I, darling?
You know, there's another there's another elephant joke. A mouse comes along. The elephant's terrified, but the elephant has a thorn in its paw. And the mouse says, well, you know, I'll take the thorn out, but you got to let me stoop you. And the elephant's just hurting so badly, so she says, yeah. And the mouse runs around, runs up her leg, gets in position. Meanwhile, there's a monkey in a tree that's watching it all and just thinks it's hilarious. And he's laughing so hard, a coconut falls off of the tree, hits the elephant in the head. She yells, ow! And the mouse says, that's right, take it all. God, I hate myself.
Are you the one who told me about, you know, the retired comedian's home and they're all on the front?
Oh, yeah. 62.
Yeah. Somebody's got to come up with that book. Ah, Jesus.
Yeah, you told it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, now we've just ruined the whole joke for everybody because we didn't do the setup.
Yeah, but see, if people are like me, and I hope not too many people are, I can't remember jokes. I remember I used to, you know, have a million of them, and I don't either.
Well, you've got to be around people where you get one of those roles going where everybody's sharing one.
Well, and, see, I don't go out and drink. That's where all those.
No, I didn't say drink. I'm just, you know, people sit, you know, just like the front porch of the comedian's retirement home.
Soaking your feet.
37. Oh, my God. It chills every time.
So anyway, I see the old clock on the wall. So don't look up or don't wait up or what is it called? Don't look up.
Don't look up. Don't please. Yes. I don't want to spoil it, but it's so hard to talk about it without the spoilers. Somebody writing that knew them some Kurt Vonnegut stuff.
Oh, well, Vonnegut was a prince.
Because if Vonnegut was still alive, he would have written this.
Yeah, well then I know I'll love it.
Because you know the characters, the vapid characters are Vonnegutian vapid. Vonnegutian? I don't know. And
when
the earnest
said that word, I had a big mouthful of coffee, And part of it went through my nose. So I'd like to thank you for that. My nose will be up all night.
So, Scott, geez. You have a good night, my friend.
I will.
And it's on Netflix. So maybe watch it tonight, and we'll expect a report tomorrow.
Yes, I'll do my Rona Barrett report of the review of the flick.
Sandy Kenyon, CNN, Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I hope, no, never mind. All right. Take care. Take care, Horn family, and bye-bye and bye bonds.
See you, Scott. Bye now.
Bye.
That's our buddy Scott in San Diego. We always have so much fun, Scott and I. I am going to knock off because I've got we got Malloy coming up at 9 p.m. and I'll be covering for Malloy tomorrow and Thursday as well. Hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. I think maybe I need to be a little bit more judicious about, you know, trying to sit for 3 hours of radio for a little while longer. But things are improving. We went through the evening with no progress on the fundraising goal, so we are at $1,300. Then there's a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, that would get us down to $1,250. Thanks to all of you, our PayPal and Patreon subscribers, for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you. Thank you so very much. To each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. By the way, thank you if you participate via Venmo as well, or the U.S. Postal Service. So that's actually $1,250 already. Thank you, Gene. And so that would take us down to $1,200 if the challenge is met. Thank you. I'm going to the post office in the next couple of days in Beckley. Haven't been in 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And please stay safe. The quarantine rules. Oh, no, you know, you can stay home 5 days, 2 days, whatever your boss wants, you know, because this isn't about science, this is about business. Please, please do everything that you can to stay safe. Don't wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, wear your mask, get the very best mask you can get. That's really critical in stopping the spread of this oh-so-transmissible version, this variant that we know as Omicron. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, we thought he was in Michigan, thought he was on his way to D.C., might be in Oklahoma, avoid those people like the plague, because even if they aren't, they're damned well clueless. For real. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.